I'm here with Alexander Mercuris, editor-in-chief of the Duran. Alexander, let's talk about Nord Stream 2 and the fact that Denmark has given the green light for Nord Stream 2 to deliver energy to Europe, given the go-ahead. I mean, Germany and Russia have already been working on it for a good time now. But Denmark was the last holdout in the final approval for Nord Stream 2 as far as getting energy to Europe. So what's the significance of this, Alexander?
Yes. I mean, what the Danes have just agreed to is to allow this pipeline to be built through an area of the sea, the Baltic Sea, over which Denmark has certain jurisdictions. And the Danes have now accepted that the pipeline is safe for environmental purposes and can therefore be built in accordance with the provisions of the Convention of the Law of the Sea. I don't think anybody doubted that Nord Stream 2 had the right to that kind of permission, but the Danes have dragged their feet on this for as long as they possibly can, almost certainly urged to do so by all sorts of powerful forces in the United States and in Europe that didn't want to see Nord Stream 2 being built. So as I understand it, this is the last part of the pipeline that needs to be built under the Baltic Sea. It will be finished in about 5 or 6 weeks. We should start to see deliveries of natural gas along that pipeline from Russia to Germany and to Northern Europe probably within 2 months. So this has been a major battle. Nord Stream 2 was first agreed in 2015, and there's been an enormous struggle to get it built, but the Russians have won. And simultaneously, the Russians have also almost completed Turk Stream, which is this other gas pipeline they're building to Turkey. And now Hungary, under the leadership of Viktor Orban, has indicated that it is signing up to the Turk Stream project also. So there will be spurs built from a connecting Turk Stream through southern Europe, through the Balkans, into central Europe, and including Hungary. Now, the significance of these pipelines is that, of course, it means the end of Ukraine's dominant position as the transit state. The Soviet Union built the original pipelines linking Russia with Europe. So Russian natural gas used to pass through these pipelines, which went through Ukraine. Those pipelines went on from via Ukraine to Europe. And what happened was that in 2006 and 2009, there were arguments between Russia and Ukraine over the price of gas that Russia was delivering to Ukraine. And the Russians then stopped deliveries of gas to Ukraine because they said that the Ukrainians weren't paying for the gas they were receiving. And the Ukrainians retaliated by siphoning, or if you like, stealing gas from those pipelines, which were intended for Russian customers in Europe. And that created gas shortages across Europe. So the Russians responded to this by building these other pipelines. For Nord Stream 2 to Germany, there's an earlier Nord Stream 1 pipeline, and now Turk Stream. So it means that from next year, Ukraine no longer has a role as a gas transit state.
Yeah, the Russians wanted to build the South Stream, but Germany blocked that, and that would have really helped out Greece a lot. Yeah. I remember that.
Well,
but the Germans put a stop to that, and they shifted it over to Nord Stream 2. And of course, Greece went along with it. But
well, of course. I mean, this is the absurdity of it all, because of course the Germans didn't want South Stream, but they did want Nord Stream.
Right.
So at the same time as the Germans are sanctioning Russia and being, you know, holier than thou about other countries like Greece in getting themselves involved, and Bulgaria getting themselves involved,
Bulgaria,
in
Greece,
South
Italy,
Stream,
yeah.
Italy, they were very, very happy to have their own pipeline coming to them from Russia, which is Nord Stream 2. But that's the way the Germans behave. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're going to be happy to be part of a Europe led by Germany, then don't complain, because that's the price you pay.
Yeah, so the big winner, Russia, Germany, Turkey, you mentioned Hungary.
Yeah.
Big winners, the big loser, Ukraine,
yeah.
The U.S.?
Well, to some extent.
The U.S. is not really a loser. I mean, they were just trying to block it.
Yes.
Because
I mean, there was,
U.S. natural gas to Europe has never been, that's a pipe dream. That's never really a reality.
You're absolutely right. It is a pipe dream. I mean, the real agenda that some people were pursuing was to try to stop these two pipelines, Nord Stream 2 and Turk Stream, especially Nord Stream 2, from being built, because they wanted to protect Ukraine, to keep Ukraine's position as a transit state intact. And of course, there's now complicated negotiations going on between Ukraine and Russia over whether or not the Russian gas will continue to flow through Ukraine. There's no agreement that it will. But I think eventually, and it's only a matter of time now, the Russians will switch the gas off. I mean, they don't need to rely on the Ukrainians anymore as a transit state. And from their point of view, the Ukrainians have shown that they are completely unreliable. They cannot be trusted to act as a proper transit state because they've stolen gas destined for other customers.
God, it's, you know, the Ukraine, they really shot themselves in the foot so bad. I can't think of a worse implosion than what that country did to itself. The EU pushed them to join the Union and to move away from Russia.
No.
Only for the EU to screw them on this energy deal. And these pipelines.
Exactly.
I mean, literally, it's the EU pushed them to destroy their country, to have parts of their country literally break off for war, for death, for destruction, for their economy to implode.
Yes. Yes.
And in the end of the day, the European Union completely screws them on the energy pipelines.
What is extraordinary about it, and what demonstrates the utter cynicism of the EU, or at least of the Germans in this, is that, of course, they imposed sanctions on Russia in 2014. They talk about opposing Russian expansionism in Europe. They talk grandly about supporting Ukraine. And the following year, 2015, they agree with the Russians to Nord Stream 2. So, I mean, this support has proved completely empty. You're absolutely right. Ukraine has been screwed. It is the big loser. No question about it.
It's incredible
what
Germany and what the EU has done here. I mean, it's...
Yeah, indeed. The other thing, of course, that has now happened is that, of course, Russia's position as the dominant supplier of natural gas to Europe has been consolidated. I mean, you're absolutely right in saying that liquefied natural gas from the United States is a pipe dream. It's never going to happen. It can never compete on price terms with Russian natural gas. Even this massively expensive liquefied natural gas terminal that the Poles have built actually is now importing liquefied natural gas from Russia rather than from the United States, because in distance terms, it's so much closer that even liquefied natural gas is cheaper. So the United States is never going to win a battle on price terms against Russia in Europe. But the fact of the matter is there have been all these various schemes to try and end Russia's dominant position as Europe's natural gas supplier. There was the plans for a pipeline across the Caucasus, which, by the way, in 1999 were the subject of a James Bond film, The World Is Not Enough. Yeah. You can see all about it there. All of that has turned to dust. The Russians have completely and comprehensively won the energy war.
That's the Nabucco.
The Nabucco pipeline.
Yeah.
As I said, they gave up on that one long ago because, as I said, it could never compete on price, and there just wasn't enough gas, natural gas, in the Caspian to make it worthwhile. So that ended long ago. There have been various schemes or grand talk, about importing natural gas from North Africa, importing natural gas from Qatar. No,
well, Alexander, don't go far. Yeah. Now they're saying this Cyprus, Egypt, Greece, yeah. The natural gas from there is going to displace Russia. Pompeo was here meeting with the Greeks, meeting with the Cypriots, meeting with the Israelis, the Egyptians. Yeah. And this is their big hope. They're dreaming. They are dreaming. This is one big farce. This whole energy thing and that's going on in the Mediterranean. They're going to displace Russia. It's a joke.
Yes, it's a complete joke. The volumes can never compete. And the geography is still wrong because ultimately a pipeline from Russia to Germany is shorter than a pipeline that has to go through all of across the Mediterranean, go right through southern and central Europe in order to reach Germany. So, of course, that whole battle has been lost. And the sooner that is accepted, the better. Ultimately, when the Russians and the Germans have interests in common and are agreed on a policy in Europe, they win. They always get what they want, and they just have.
Yeah, it just makes common sense. I mean, they're talking about neighbors that just have to move it right over a landmass, and it's boom, in Central Europe.
Exactly.
Right there, in Central Europe. Exactly. Doesn't get any easier or cheaper.
No. And, of course, the other thing is, of course, the Russians have this enormously developed infrastructure when it comes to exporting natural gas. Gazprom is, you know, the grand master in understanding how to do that. It's building pipelines within Russia itself, and it will be able to switch natural gas very effortlessly from the Far East to Europe, back again to China. It can move gas around its own pipelines. It can do this with a degree of efficiency and with a degree of cost effectiveness that no one else is ever going to match, because they have the infrastructure and they have the know-how and they have the experience of how to do it.
So we're going to have this gas coming in from Russia to Germany to Europe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the European Union are going to keep on with their, you know, little charade and their theatrics with sanctions and Russia bad stuff. I mean, they're going to continue with that charade. And they're going to continue preaching all this stuff after they're getting all the gas and they're making all this money.
Well, indeed. I mean, they will. No doubt they will, because from their point of view, words are cheap. And lifting the sanctions is going to annoy the Americans, and they don't want to annoy. Well, they're frightened to annoy the Americans, even though I think that's what most of them would actually love to do. So they're going to go on, at least for a while, I think, for a fairly long while. But at the end of the day, you're absolutely right. It's money. It comes down to money. The Russians will be making more money from the sale of their natural gas to Europe. For the time being, they're apparently content to be paid in euros for it. They made it increasingly clear that they want to be paid in euros, not dollars, but increasingly now want to be paid in rubles. So that will change.
In rubles? Is that even possible, though? In rubles?
Indeed.
Really?
Well, for the moment, it's not possible. I mean, the ruble is not traded to anything like that extent as an international currency, but it's becoming increasingly stable. It's a floating currency. It's freely convertible. And of course, sooner or later, and we're talking about, you know, 10, 15 years down the road, we might perceive the ruble in a completely different way. The fact is, at the moment, it will be euros. And if the euro breaks down, I predict it will be Deutschmarks. It won't be dollars.
All right, Alexander Mercurius, Editor-in-Chief of the Durad. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on the subscribe button, hit that like button, hit that notifications bell as well to make sure that you get notified when we publish a new video. Go to SoundCloud and iTunes and subscribe there so you can get audio podcast versions of these videos. And donate to us. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. We are on all three platforms, and your donation helps keep this channel up and running. And also go to the Durand Shop, thedurandshop.com, and pick up some magic mugs and some magic shirts, like what Alexander is holding up right there.
Indeed. And I believe, Alex, you're also drinking from a magic mug at the moment. So you've got it nearby. There we go. You see, this is what keeps us both alert and bright, so we're able to do these amazing videos. I think Alex drinks coffee mainly from his mugs. I drink tea. I think Alex is possibly drinking water at the moment.
And it's because it's 10 at night, so
great
coffee now.
Well, I know. You see, I live on a diet of caffeine, but you can do that more easily with tea. But these are truly great, beautiful mugs. They're 100, well, beautiful porcelain body. They have an amazing luster. Alex has been very careful to choose really elegant emblems on them. So this is the coat of arms of Moscow with an imperial double-headed eagle. And you can see there St. George, who is the patron saint of Moscow, and he's slaying the dragon, which I think of as the dragon of fake news and untruth, which is the thing that we fight on the Durand. So these are beautiful mugs. We have a large collection of them. Now, you go to our shop, you'll find mugs that suit every taste. And we also have these amazing shirts. You see, I'm wearing a polo shirt today, 100% caution, epitome of smart casual, incredibly comfortable to wear. You can wear it in all kinds of weather, as you have to in England, because our weather changes all the time. It's 100% cotton. It's incredibly stylish. It fits beautifully. And it's also got our Durand double-headed eagle there, which looks to the east and the west and is able to keep an eye on all these things. And of course, we've got lots of other shirts. We've got T-shirts, short-sleeve T-shirts, long-sleeve T-shirts, V-neck shirts. We've got hoodies. We've got hats. We've got stickers. We've also got books in our shop, all absolutely A-grade. All our shirts, 100% cotton, all really well, beautifully made. Our viewers who buy them love them. Our competitors are extremely jealous and are trying and failing to copy them. There have been some copies and they are dismal, and please avoid them. Buy the real thing from us. So what are you waiting for? Help the Durand. Go to our shop. Help yourself. Alex will tell you how to do it.
TheDurandShop.com. You'll find the link in the description box. Alexander Mercurius, Editor-in-Chief of The Durand. Thank you very much. Till next time, everybody. Take care.